B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block! Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday all across the Delaware Valley. And it is a Friday. That's right, the weekend. Although it's, for a lot of us, the weekend doesn't hold as much meaning, I guess, because it's like a strange existence now. With every passing day, when you talk to people, you are just like, you're amazed, right? It still feels surreal. I was talking to a friend of mine, Pat McClune, who's one of the great, great editors at the Philadelphia Inquirer, Inquirer.com, formerly the Daily News. One of the great guys in all the Philly media and a great Philadelphian. And Pat was like, "Yeah, you holding up, man? What's going on, brother? We've been through a lot, but never saw anything like this. 9/11 and all work stoppages for sports. And then, but this thing is, it's pretty astounding. I think people, proud of everybody. We're holding up and, we're trying to do our best. And I still think we got, you know, some significant time doing this thing. But, you know, with the end of the week, let's look back. And I think it's important to pat ourselves on the back and try to help out, at least most of us. There's a guy that needs to be tar and feathered, who owns Hahnemann Hospital, who held up the city of Philadelphia for use of its beds during this crisis. His name's Joel Friedman, a horrible scoundrel of a human being who's trying to bleed the city during these horrible time. I mean, to have no respect for humanity and for the utmost greed, a despicable human being is Joel Friedman. And if you ever encounter him, you know, just feel free to spit in his face, because he's a creep of all creeps, to hold up the city of Philadelphia and try to profit off them while people are going to need hospital beds. I mean, that's just vile. Vile. That's evil is what it is. But for the most of us, I'm very, very proud of how we've kind of navigated this uncharted course. And we'll continue to do so. We'll continue to kind of take your mind off of things. We're going to take a lot of heavy look at TV today. We're going to take a look at some Flyers with a Flyers playback today. We'll relive an amazing game, one of the great games in Flyers history, Game 7 against the Bruins in 2010, that culminated in the 3-0 comeback. Amazing. Still can't believe that Game 7. So we'll relive that moment a little bit later on today. And but for the first, I want to get into these organizations, these leagues. I don't know if you saw this, but Adam Schefter had come across, and he got a copy of the letter, the memo that Roger Goodell sent teams. Now, when we talk about just creeps, Roger Goodell is a Class A creep. And it's amazing. He comes out and he says, the draft will go on as scheduled. And he's making plans. And he told this in the memo that, you know, general managers and teams should come out and they should plan on going to a draft that's outside team facilities. Now, there's going to be no players, no players' families, that thing. But they're going to have a draft that's off-site. It's unbelievable, right? Off-site. And But here's the kicker. You want to do that? Fine. But what he does is he sends in the memo that teams who criticize the draft, that people who come out and criticize the draft, criticize the league for holding the draft or anything like that, will be subject to discipline. And here it is. He wrote in his memo, public discussion of issues relating to drafts serves no useful purpose and is grounds for disciplinary action. It's amazing that these guys can't handle criticism from the rank and file, from their own teams. Mickey Loomis, who's the GM, a great football man for the Saints, had come out and he pushed for the pushing back of the draft. But these leagues, it's amazing because you can't have a dissenting opinion. If you come out and discuss it, it's grounds for discipline. And I know the same thing goes on in baseball, where I know of a team in Major League Baseball that was criticized, that criticized the Astros and criticized how MLB handled the Astros. And they were come down upon by the league, by Rob Manfred, that you can't handle any criticism. We're going to talk about these guys that get paid way too much money, that have egos the size of New York City blocks. It's disgusting. It's completely disgusting. Good morning, Shunas.
Hey, I agree with you on everything. On everything you just said, I agree with you. It is disgusting.
We want to talk about life and death, right? We're talking about life and death. We're talking about the idea of survival of this deadly virus. And these guys, they have no concept, no clue of everyday life. They're despicable human beings. They really are. And it starts, I'm already... in a bad way about, and I'll say his name constantly throughout the show, Joel Friedman, who owns Hahnemann Hospital. He owns the building. And when Mayor Kenny went to try to open it up, the city was getting fleeced. That he had to hold his hands up and say, look, we can't do this anymore. That's potentially 500 hospital beds. 500 hospital beds in a pandemic. And he's trying to fleece the city. I've heard of evil, and I know it exists, but just a despicable human being trying to profit, greed, not just profit, trying to fleece the city for the use of his vacant building. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that guy's always been shady. I mean, my wife used to work at Hahnemann Hospital, so, you know. I know about how shady that guy is. I've heard the stories. He's a real J.O.
A despicable human being. If you ever run into it, spit in his face because that's what he deserves. He's the lowest form of scum to try to do that in a pandemic. But I'm tired of these sports guys, too. There's another one. Roger Goodell. Rob Manfred. They're another one that deserves to vitriol the people.
Isn't it crazy how well Adam Silver is working alongside the CDC and all the guys? He literally is the best commissioner of the four major sports.
It's not even close. Adam Silver is a gem. He's a gem. You listen to him talk, bright man, you know, whatever. You how he works with, like you said, the CDC. The first one to react... We got to shut down, you know, for the safety of our teams, our players. The guy is an amazing commissioner.
Yeah, and at least Gary Bettman, as much heat he gets, at least he's been quiet. I mean, like, he hasn't said anything stupid.
Right.
Right? Like,
exactly.
Nobody likes him to begin with, but at least he hasn't said anything dumb.
Right. No, he is. I got news for you. No, you're exactly right. But Roger Goodell, who makes an obscene amount of money, obscene. At one point, he was making $58 million a year. Are you kidding me?
That's unbelievable.
And it's an idiot-proof job. idiot proof. Let me preside over football. Are you kidding me? It's like having a French fry stand down the shore when nobody, there's no food. Are you kidding me? How hard is it to run the NFL? It's ridiculous. $58 million. That they print money, that league. But you can't criticize? What's that about? When is it TASS? What were we in the Soviet Union?
Yeah, what happened to freedom of speech?
I mean, you know, if a guy goes, listen, I think it's best for us to postpone the game. I had a guy tell me yesterday, listen, I can't talk about Major League Baseball, you know, about the Astros and stuff, because there's an edict. And it wasn't the Phillies, so it's a buddy of mine I used to work with when I was covering baseball in New York. And we were just talking because I was going to have him on the show. And he's like, I can't even, we're just talking about the Astros. He's like, I can't even come on because they put out a memo saying that we'll get, you know, this we'll face disciplinary action. Like really? For coming out and talking about how the league mishandled that cheating scandal? It's outrageous.
That really is amazing.
It really is. Just drunk with power. These commissioners. Oh, I can't stand it. Especially now when we have, we understand about life and death, right? We have something that is so serious that we're dealing with. That these people, and listen, God bless, I never would begrudge anyone a dollar when it comes to their salaries. But the self-importance that people in sports have, it's just outrageous. It's outrageous. And it's got to come to an end. At a time when we sit here and we understand what's going on, this is where that has to end. And please, I'll let you guys throw out nominees because they all need to be called on the carpet today. But we got lots to get to, Tunis. We will have some fun, I promise.
I'm excited for the playback today. I know you talked about it to open the show, but you know I just relived it even again today.
Yeah.
I know we played some highlights from it the other day, but we only played a few highlights, like the last couple minutes of the game. This is start to finish, Game 7, Flyers-Bruins.
Yeah, that was awesome. Awesome, awesome. We're going to come back. Howie spoke yesterday, so we'll talk a little bit of Eagles football, see where we're at right now, see what you guys think. Heading into the draft. And, man, the draft goes on. Listen, do I want the draft to happen? Yeah. But, you know, to expect these teams to go out to an off-site, somewhere off-site, I think that's wrong. And when Mickey Loomis says, you know, between physicals and psych evaluations, we should push the thing back, he's not wrong. You're not going to have OTAs. So, you know, I don't know what you're thinking. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach us, 610-632-0975. It's Cuz Radio with Tunis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. All right, welcome back. 10:21 right here on this Friday morning. How you holding up there, brother? More importantly, how's Christy holding up? She's on the front lines, your wife, as a nurse.
She's tired. Like, like all nurses are, and you know, and all doctors and all medical personnel. So my prayers to all of them, and I appreciate them working on the front lines. You know, it's a stressful time, but they're working hard and they're doing it for the best of us, and you know, living each day by day at this point.
Yeah, is her hours extended?
It's not like, so they're 12-hour shifts. She does the 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. But it's not like they're doing 15, 16 hours, but it's like, all right, you're done at 7:30, but you're not really out of here at 7:30. So, I mean, there's nights where she's coming home after 9 o'clock, that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's just you clock out when they tell you to clock out.
That's right. Yeah, it's tough.
And it's crazy. I mean, they're getting more supplies finally, which is good because her hospital was limited, like most hospitals, right? It's not like they were neglecting to help out their employees. It's just there was such a shortage on stuff throughout this entire country because we did not act fast enough because of our leadership, but whatever. I don't want to get political. But she finally, her hospital got stuff that they needed, and that's good because now they're a little safer with what they're doing because they're dealing with a lot. Trust me.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a picture of these nurses who had trash bags on as their scrubs.
Yeah, they're doing all kinds of different methods, all kinds of stuff. And you know what? I do want to give a shout out to Michael Rubin and what Fanatics is doing. Did you see what they're doing?
No.
They're going to stop making like Phillies jerseys.
Oh, I did see that.
And they're
going to
change it into scrubs and it's kind of cool. I saw a photo of it. It's Phillies pinstripes, but it's scrubs and it's not scrubs. It's what will go over the scrubs. It's the gowns and it's also they're making masks out of it, and you know, I don't know if it's 100% effective, but you can use the mask over top of your N95 or something else and now it's some extra protection. So companies that are doing that have the ability to make stuff to help out nurses and other medical personnel, I appreciate
that. That's fantastic. Yeah, that's great. That is great. That's fantastic. All right, brother, here we go. And we're going to do our Friday Five. All right?
All right.
Here's the Friday Five, and you as the guinea pig, and you're gonna take it cold.
All right, why not?
All right. Question number one. How have you personally been affected by the isolation and what's going on?
Personally? Okay. I'm supposed to move in a couple of days. And I have no idea if I can move. I mean, it's March 27th. I'm supposed to move on April 1st. And I still have no idea what we're doing. So there's my personal... Because... Right now, we are scheduled to move some stuff. Right now, we have a moving company that will help us, but that could change tomorrow, right? Like, it's kind of like on a standby notice. Like, we haven't paid for anything because they said, listen, we'll jot you down, but if tomorrow they announce that we can't do anything, then we're shutting down. So I guess that's, I mean, obviously everything else, like, you can't go outside and you can't go to bars. That's personally affected me, but that's probably the biggest thing.
But that affects everybody, right?
Yeah, so not knowing whether or not I'm going to be living in my new apartment next week is kind of the biggest thing for me.
Wow. But I got to tell you, I think you're done. I think you just got to understand that you're not moving until the end of the summer.
Yeah, I mean, fortunately for me, I still have the overlap of a month. Like, I got one, like, my lease at the current place ends end of April. So if things change, obviously, I still have an extra month. And then, obviously, we'll be in contact with the landlord and that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's crazy right now.
Yeah, yeah. All right, question number two of the Friday Five. This is based off the Eagles. Free agency is done. And in a little bit, you'll hear from Howie. But free agency is done. All we have left now is the draft. Now, you know, who knows? There could be some trades. We talk about Ngakoue. I guess that's still a possibility. He still wants to try to come here, but we'll see. You know that they need receivers. Where would you say the Eagles are right now? A, Super Bowl contender. B, playoff team. But could possibly get there to be the Super Bowl, or C, no shot. Realistic, they might win a division, but they're not good enough to win it all.
So this is Eagles as a whole. Where are they?
Yeah.
And it's pre-draft, we're saying.
Right now, I mean, you know, listen, you know what's going to happen in the draft, right? Like, you're going to try to get a receiver, a couple receivers.
Right.
You know what's going to happen. So where's this team at? Like, have they done enough is basically the question to you.
I think they are better than last year. So they're still a playoff team, in my opinion, but I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. And even post-draft, I don't know if they are, but I think they're close. Or, like, I think the window is still slightly open. It's a crack. Like, you have a little piece of wood holding up the window before it slams shut because the hinges are broken. So I think the window is still there. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team, but I think they're close. And I think it's going to be a fun year. It's not going to be as frustrating. Like, we hated last season, except for those last 4 weeks.
It was hard.
I don't think we hate the 2020-2021 Eagles. I don't think we hate that team. But I don't think it's a Super Bowl team, and I think that's okay because they still got some work to do.
Yeah, I don't think it's a Super Bowl team right now as it is. Now, talk to me if you get the speed that you need, right? If you got Ruggs and if you're somehow able to pull off the Ngakoue move. So if you got Henry Ruggs III and you got Ngakoue, I think you got a Super Bowl shot. But it's a lot to be able to really ask for because it's a lot of capital. I don't know if you have enough capital to get both guys.
Yeah, I don't know if you do because I doubt Jacksonville wants to wait for another year of a draft pick. Like, I think Jacksonville will want this year's first round pick. And with that being the case, then you're not going to get Henry Ruggs. So I don't even know if that's possible. If you do get Ruggs and Ngakoue.
Here's the thing, though. Could they take a two? You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. And then you got to hope that Ruggs falls a little bit. But right now, if short of those two, I don't think they're a Super Bowl team either.
No, I don't. But again, I think they're going to be more fun to watch this year. Like, I think, you know, even if they don't get Ruggs, and I know you are dying for Henry Ruggs, but even if they get another wide receiver in the draft, it is, regardless, it's a receiver that Carson Wentz can finally, hopefully, connect with. And obviously, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside wasn't that. Nobody thought he was going to be that even after he was drafted. We thought,
yeah,
okay.
You need a dynamic receiver.
And I agree with you.
Like, you got to get a great receiver. And that's why I keep pushing the first three. I don't think CeeDee Lamb's going to be there. I don't think Judy's going to be there. So that's why I'm being a pig head with Henry Ruggs.
And that's fair. That's totally fair that you want him.
All the guys are good enough. I mean, I'll argue all day long. We have argued with the Quaz.
Yes.
But I don't think those guys, I don't think that Justin Jefferson is a top flight, you know, game breaker. I think you need a game breaker.
Yeah, I agree with you. But Justin Jefferson is still a good talent. I mean, right? Like, he's still going to help you out. And I get it. You read the scouting report from Our Lads. He's a slot guy. You want somebody on the outside. If Greg Ward is still on this team, he's going to be the slot guy, right? I guess. So it's a question of whether or not can you move Justin Jefferson to the outside? Probably not. I mean, that's what the scouts are saying.
Well, I mean,
he's still an impact, though.
Yeah, but you need an
game breaker.
Again, you don't have receivers. How many times are we talk about this?
Yeah, you have nobody.
Well, and therein lies my frustration. Whether it's not getting, and I understand that you had to go pay Hopkins. Go ahead, pay him.
Yeah, you didn't get Hopkins. You didn't even get a guy like Breshad Perriman, who people were looking for. You know, it's not like he was number one free agent target for me. But again, it's another guy off the board the Eagles didn't go after, which to me tells me they're going to go heavy wide receiver in the draft, which hopefully is a guy like Ruggs who they trade up for.
Right. No, but to me, again, I don't know that you've done enough. And again, and I'll go back to it because I keep talking about the capital, about having enough capital. If that means I got to part with Zach Ertz, I'm first of all, I'm thinking about it. I know you're not.
Yeah, I'm still afraid to do that.
I'm thinking about it. I mean, I don't mean to make this a disparagement of Zach Ertz, but he has been banged up and bruised. He is a great tight end, but he's not the elite of the elite tight ends. I mean, he's a solid A, but he's not an A-plus talent.
Yeah, and you have every correct point. Like, eventually you're going to have to pay Dallas Goedert. And are you going to be paying both Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert? Probably not. You're probably not going to be able to do that. And right now, Ertz is at higher value with, what, 2 years left on his contract than he will be next year. And then he will be middle of the following season, right? Like, his value is highest right now. So you're right when it comes to trading him. Now's where you're going to get the highest return because he's still got some years left on his deal. So it makes sense. It does. I just, for Carson's sake, I don't want to move on from him.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's good for him, though.
You could be right, because maybe he is
too reliant on him. Yes. I mean, every way, both on the field and off the field.
You make valiant points, or as Gabe Kapler would say, valiant. I completely agree with you, but at the same time, it's like, all right, I like that he has a guy. I like that.
I wanted that
third and seven. We need a first down. I know where I'm going to. I can depend on Zach Ertz to get to that open spot, even though he always goes 6 yards for some reason.
That's my point. You're exactly.
He's always a yard short of the stick.
Exactly.
Come on, Zach. Go one more yard.
Well, I wanted to have a guy, too. A guy on the outside who's a wide receiver. That's what you need, a wide receiver. That's what he needs. That's the guy he needs. The hookup. You got to have the hookup. He's got no hookup.
I have the hookup on speed dial, you know?
I mean, Zach Ertz is not the, I mean, he's a luxury in that sense. Listen, I like him a ton. But again, Goddard is, even if you say that Goddard can't be Zach, and I might buy that. I'm not sure, but I might buy that.
Right.
He is still he's an above average tight end.
Yeah, he is.
With good hands. He catches the ball. He's a bull.
Better run blocker than Ertz.
I mean, you know, you're not, the drop off isn't a ton.
Yeah, I mean,
look, Kelsey's stuck, right? We know that.
Right.
But the Chiefs win because it's Tyreek Hill.
Because of speed, you're right. It's crazy because I agree.
And the quarterback.
I agree with everything that you say. And I'm not a guy that gets emotionally attached to players. That's not me. Like, if I think you need to move on, you move on from that player. I'm not emotionally attached to Zach Ertz, Julie Ertz, you name it. I'm not attached to Zach Ertz.
And again, but I'm not rushing to put him out like I put the trash out last night.
Right.
I'm not doing that. I mean, I like the guy a lot. I mean, I wanted to draft him. I like him a ton. This is just the betterment of the team. If I say to you, a one, a two, and Zach Ertz, right now, a one and a two in this draft, and Zach Ertz, and I get Henry Ruggs and Ngakoue.
That sounds pretty good.
You're not doing that?
No, I think I am.
Well, that's kind of what it would cost you, basically.
Okay. Well, yeah, the one would be drafting Henry Ruggs. And then the two and Ertz would get you Ngakoue.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds pretty good to me.
However it's dispersed.
I think what I'm more worried about is trading Ertz for a second and fourth round pick. And then not knowing, like, you know, I don't want to go with low-hanging fruit, but we know the Eagles struggles at certain areas of the draft, and I'm worried you trade for a second and fourth round pick just because you want to get his money off the books when he's really not the problem. It's Alshon Jeffrey, but you can't move Alshon Jeffrey. So you move Zach Ertz, get those two draft picks, and what are those guys going to do for you? What if they don't do anything for you? What if they're two busts?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you traded Zach Ertz, who is a key player on this offense, for nothing.
Well,
that's my one concern. If I'm getting Ngakoue out of it, all right, I know this guy's a stud.
Well, I'm getting, in my plan, I'm getting Ngakoue and Ruggs.
Yes,
and
I would sign up for that. A 1-2 and Ertz for those two players, I would sign up for that.
Yeah, and again, it goes, I don't know how it's going to be dispersed and who would turn. I don't even know if you can get it, but I'm just throwing it out there as barroom sports radio.
Yes, I would sign up for that. But just Ertz for a couple draft picks, I'm not doing. Unless, again, that draft pick lands you Henry Ruggs or something like that.
All right.
But then again, I would want Ruggs and Ertz on the same team. It's my mind is in a pretzel.
All right. Let's talk. We'll talk about it some more. All right. Question number three. How about that? We went on a tangent for that question of the Friday Five.
I miss football. And can I interrupt your Friday Five?
Sure.
This is going to, I don't want to do this to you, but this is going to hurt. Did you hear what Kirk Herbstreit said earlier today?
Oh, no. No, no, no.
Quote, I will be shocked if we have NFL football and college football this fall. You're 12 to 18 months away from a vaccine. Until you have a vaccine, I don't know how you can play ball.
Really?
Could you imagine?
Herbie said that?
Yep. And Herbie's a smart man.
Good morning, Herbie. Yeah, that's my man.
Like that, that scares me. I haven't even thought about football yet, like about not playing football. Because, here, and he's right. Here's the thing. We keep on talking about how the warm weather might burn this thing off, right? Like, that's one of the theories.
Right.
It gets cold in December. Yeah. And what if the virus then comes back like it would for flu season?
Yeah.
And, you know, if they don't have a vaccine yet, and we're middle of December, there's a spike in coronavirus again.
Yeah, I you know, again, I mean, here's the thing. Who knows, right? I mean, you already have people pushing, and this is wrong. You got, there's a push. Like, I understand, man, the economy's bad right now. I get it, right? And, you know, I understand it. However, you can't push older Americans to go back to work and put them at risk. And there's a push like that.
Yeah, that's wrong.
I mean, you can't be, you know, risking people's lives, you know. I mean, especially, we're at the epicenter. New York City is the, first of all, we have the most cases, right? You know, who knows about China, because China lies.
Right.
But you got New York City, which is the epicenter of the virus. And, you know, we're not far away.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, that would be frightening.
Yeah, so sorry. But because we were talking football, I had to bring that up.
All right. All right.
And the idea of a year with no football. Remember a few years ago or last year, they were talking about holding out because of the CBA agreement.
Yeah.
And obviously the CBA was signed and that happened. So there's not going to be any stoppage.
Yeah.
But this is now real.
All right. Question number three of the Friday Five. I told you that my cousin came up with a Field of 64 movie lines, which we're going to dive into next week. Give me your favorite movie line. The one that comes to your mind first that you'll always talk about. You'll always recite that movie line.
Oh, man.
And I know you're not a movie guy, but still, you watch, there's some movies you like. And give me the one. You can come back to it if you want.
Well, I mean, I can't recite it word for word.
That's all right. Go
ahead. But the Field of Dreams baseball speech.
Ah, it's the best.
I mean, it's because if you build it,
they will come.
Yes, and then he paints the picture of baseball perfectly.
Yeah. All right, there you go. You can get that later in play.
I will. I mean, any chance you can hear James Earl Jones speak, of course. Yeah. Of course, there's all the comedy lines, too.
All right, question number four. This will help people out. We're going to have our TV expert, right from Hollywood, join us later on today. Roy Bank, who will join us to talk television and what to watch. Give me the best thing that you have watched right now this week, because you'll help people.
Anthony, have you heard about all the hype for Tiger King, and have you watched it yet?
No, I refuse to watch it.
You got to watch it.
No, I'm out.
Anthony, you got to watch it.
I'm out. It's all about the messenger. I'm out.
Anthony, you got to watch it.
See, with things, I'm a petty person, right?
Yes.
So if a lot depends on the messenger. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. Now, let me say this. When the kids are in bed and it's 11 o'clock at night and you're enjoying your tequila, your gin, and your little piece of fruit that's in the drink, right? You do that. You put, yes, like the raspberry in or something.
Yes, the muddled.
When you're on your like second or third glass, you got Netflix, right?
Yes.
Do yourself a favor and watch the first episode.
All right.
I watched, let's see, it was 2 days ago. Christy was working. So I was working on some stuff at home, and I had time to kill. And I watched 6 episodes straight and could not stop watching.
Wow.
It is, I don't know if I like it. I don't know if it's good. It's just so insane that you can't stop watching.
Wow.
So there you go.
And what's it about?
It's about a guy who owns a tiger farm, and he's sort of, or it's like a zoo, and he has people come and see it, and it's a constant battle between him and animal rights groups. But this guy is from Ohio, and he lives in the middle of Ohio, and he's just insane.
Yeah, I'm out.
No. You have to watch it.
Yeah.
Third glass of gin or something. I'm telling you.
All right.
People will support me on this. The guy is just shooting things and like blowing things up.
A rubbernecker. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm not a rubbernecker.
Like,
I see an accident. I do the sign of the cross. I hope everybody's all right. And I move on. I don't need to see people acting insane.
No, you'll love it. All right. You'll get a kick out of it.
All right, question number five. This is the Joel Friedman question. In case you don't know who he is, he's the man that owns Hahnemann Hospital, who tried to fleece the city of Philadelphia. And when it comes to when Mayor Kenney wants to open up space and try to get 500 more beds using that hospital, he tried to fleece the city until the city just gave up in negotiations. So the question number five is based off of him. You know the game whack-a-mole.
Yes.
All right? So I give you a mallet, and you get to whack three people right in the head, just like the game. Boom, boom, boom. Who are you whacking?
For the comedic value of it.
Let's open it up in chat.
I got smack on the head. Hopefully bring some sense to him. That's number one. That's tough.
You go to Gabe, all right?
Because I'm not a guy that's filled with hatred, you know? Like, I would put that guy in it, Friedman.
I mean, you could do it as a, again, comedian.
Yes.
You do it for some, levity.
All right, I got one. So, Gabe, for the comedic value of it.
Okay.
The woman in Pennsylvania who went to the grocery store who just coughed on the food.
The coughed?
Yeah. I mean, she should be stoned, not just whack-a-mole.
How about the dude who was licking the boxes at Walmart?
Yeah.
Yes, mallet.
Yeah, so he gets it. These YouTube influencers who are like, oh, let me show them. And they're licking toilet seats. And one guy actually licked one and then got tested positive for the coronavirus. So any YouTube influencer you can think of that's doing some stupid crap like that, coffer and Gabe.
Oh, yeah,
there's
like
my three.
That's good. That's great. That's a great three. All right. Jonas, excellent job.
Thank you.
You heard the Friday Five. I think it's a good Friday Five
today. I agree. It's fun.
I think it's a good one today. So you too can play the Friday Five. And just the mallet alone, you get to whack three people. That alone is worth a phone call, 610-632-0975.
I got more movie lines because I have MLB Network in here right now. And they're showing a preview of Bull Durham. There's 35 lines from that movie alone. Meat.
Yes. 610-632-0975. Who are we talking about with the baseball movies? Did we have somebody on? We're talking baseball. Oh, Joe Buck.
Oh, yes.
Right?
And how real. Well, we're talking about sports movies in general.
Right.
And trying to see how realistic they are.
Yes.
And baseball, they do the best job.
I disagree. I think basketball is better.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I think basketball is better.
I think it's all alley-oops to Shaq and blue chips. And passing.
We'll talk.
Hard about passing.
We'll argue about it. We'll argue it. All right. We'll argue it. All right. It's Cubs Radio with Tunis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right. Hey, by the way, the good news about Friday, and this is what differentiates Friday, at least on the show, it's a free beer Friday, Judas.
Damn right. We're giving away a case of Labatt or Labatt Blue Light, your choice, depending on if you're watching your figure or not. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, official import of the Philadelphia Flyers. Always drink responsibly.
I know. Have you had to curtail your drinking? Like you go now again, life, you still, you're going in every day into the studio.
Yes.
But you live close.
Yes. Like I'm 5-10 minutes away.
Now you have a good stock at home.
Yeah, I've a good liquor stock. I mean, the problem is the beer, right? Like it's, you know, it's cold and some days are nice like yesterday and today. So you open up the fridge, you sit out back cause you can't go anywhere. So right. You just sit in the backyard and soak in the sun a little bit and drink a few beers. So I got to restock, I think, the beer at some point, maybe in the next week or two. But the beauty of it is I have a drive-through beer market right near me, which is still open because it's drive-through.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. And this is a big deal. I got to watch.
Yes.
Like, because I'm 20 feet from my fridge.
And you're home.
And I got cases. You know what I'm saying?
And there's nothing like, at least for me, because I'm still not I am a voice on your show, but I'm not like the host of a show. So what I do is like on a Saturday when I'm done at noon, because it was the show that I hosted, I love the post show beer. Right?
Exactly.
So you're just home, right? It's not like you're sitting in an hour's worth of traffic going back to Jersey. Nah, you're home. The beer's right there.
Right. And, you know, like, during the week, it's you know, you're picking, you get school events.
Yeah, you got all kinds of stuff.
Like, you're running around and all. You're not just home. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And I do realize that I need, like, I like the post-show beer. I do a post-show Guinness.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, it's there, right? Like, so then I write, and then all of a sudden, you know, whatever, I'll be back at my desk or do whatever. And then it's like, huh, yeah, you can easily, throughout the course of a day,
kill a couple beers.
Exactly. So I'm like, you know.
I've been pretty good with it because I keep telling myself I need to keep my immune system up. So I need to drink plenty of water, and I can't get wasted every single night.
Well, that's
so true. I've been pretty good with it. I think like yesterday I had like two beers.
Yeah, yesterday I did none. I was like, yesterday I will do nothing yesterday. No cocktail, nothing. Of course, I will make the, it's Friday, so I figure I'll make that up tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's go to the phone lines, talk to our friends, see how everybody's doing. Let us go to Aaron. Aaron, good morning. How are you, brother?
What's going on, cuz?
How you feeling, man?
Hey, man, I'm feeling good, man. I'm starting to get this stain for Howie, man.
Really?
And you got to help me out. Yeah, man, yeah. Because I know he's a capologist, and, you know, he know how to wiggle the cap and all that, but he don't make the moves sometimes now that, you know, he used to. He used to have, you know, a little more balls, I think, back in the day. To win us that Super Bowl. Now he's kind of like easing back to me. And when you said, man, and I don't agree with you with Ertz. I don't agree with you with Ertz. I need Ertz. I need a safety blanket for Carson, man, because if he gets in trouble, he's not a safety blanket yet.
Why can't
he might be throwing.
He's only not a safety blanket because Ertz is there.
Right, but he that's your safety.
And when Ertz doesn't play, I don't know. I mean, I got to tell you, I'm really on the other side here. I think
I love Goddard.
I mean, I don't know what you want. And by the way, how about forget safety? You don't need safety blankets if you got real outside receivers.
But since, I mean, he said it right. You know, when he needed third and seven or something, he knows where he's going at. But if he would have got Anderson, I wanted Anderson, right? Listen to me.
Hold on. Forget about Robbie for a second.
Third and seven.
I'm not going to my tight end. I want to go to my receiver on third and seven.
What receiver is he going to?
What's my point? My point is, why do you think I keep talking about Henry Ruggs?
Right, but how about they don't get him, man? How about they don't get none of those receivers, man?
I don't know. I mean, that's the chance, man. We're taking a chance. Well, that's why I want to move. I want to use Ertz if I gotta go into my bank account. What am I looking at? I don't have a lot there, but I do have Ertz that I can cash in.
Did you see Ertz post what he posted? Did you see that?
No.
He wanted to be Eagle the rest of his life, and he wanted to be one of the greatest.
Okay. Well,
you know what I mean? So his heart is here, man. And I don't know about these guys. I mean, I'm not saying it, but Howie's not Swift no more to me, man. He's not. You said forget Anderson. I wanted him from the jump. I wanted somebody that at least you got a capable receiver.
I just said forget Anderson.
And they're talking about Watkins now. Do you want Watkins or do you want Anderson? Who do you want?
Well, Sammy Watkins.
Now they're talking about Watkins.
Well, here's the problem.
He's better than Anderson?
Yes.
He's older.
I'm going to try to tell you. I like Robbie Anderson. I do. I like him a lot. I'm a Temple guy. I love him. Me and Matt Rhule, we love the kid. I wanted the Eagles to draft the kid. But he's not as good as you think he is.
His hands aren't that good. So, Ann, I had to throw it back to you. How good is Watkins? We don't know. He was drafted number four.
He doesn't even look like he was drafted number four. Sammy Watkins is a proven receiver. I'm not telling you he's a great receiver. It's why I want to draft my receivers. I kept saying to you all the time.
I don't have no problem.
I want to draft my receivers.
I have no problem with that. Draft a receiver, but get a competent receiver, too, on the other side. Okay. And they didn't do it. He didn't address it.
If it was up to me, I would have got Hopkins.
Oh, yeah. Well, we didn't need nobody else. If we got Hopkins, then we could have got a receiver, like, you know, and a project-type receiver then.
If you want
a good receiver, like a great receiver, you think Ruggs is going to be and all those, you know, those guys
coming
out?
Yes, Henry Ruggs is going to be a weapon. I need a game breaker. I need a weapon. He's a weapon. He's got great hands. He can run routes. He's got blazing speed.
Right.
Now, again, CeeDee Lamb and is probably the best receiver.
Yes.
And to me, Ruggs is number three, but there's a big drop off at four.
Got you. I understand that. But, you know, receivers came in third, fourth rounds. I don't know. We're projecting.
I mean, listen, there's certain guys that you watch, you go, this guy can play. You know, what we project at is in the second, third, or really third, fourth, fifth round. You should have an idea if a kid can play or not.
Right. No,
Especially if that's what you do for a living. Like, you know, give me a break.
Yeah, that's what scares me with the Eagles brass, man. I don't know if they know what they're doing all the time when it comes to drafting.
That's my problem, man.
I'm scared of it.
I can't help you. I don't know. I'm not, you know, I can't help you. If I was in the room, I'd help you. If I was in the room, I guarantee I'd help you, brother. Here's the problem. The problem is, who took J.J. Arcega-Whiteside?
I have no idea.
You know what I'm saying? Was that the owner's pick?
Did Jeffrey know somebody?
Hear me out. Did Jeffrey know somebody, I don't know, at Stanford? And, like, he wants to have a pick? Like, that's what's dangerous is when you're letting guys that should not be drafting guys draft guys, if that's the case.
Yeah, you're right.
Anyway,
All right, brother.
Are you all right?
Appreciate
are you good?
Yeah, man. I'm always good, man. I worry about this thing, man, but you got to be safe out here.
That's a good conversation, though, man. That was a fun conversation.
Yeah. My man.
Love you. See you, buddy. That's Aaron.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.